Psalm 37 and verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So we were in verses 1 through 5 last week. And I don't know how long we're going to go into this, but it's just feeding me a lot. It's ministering to me a lot. And I want to share this with you guys. So what we have here in this verse is kind of that expected end that God wants us to be psyched up about. So let me read this again, because yeah, we're talking about the turbulent days that Paul lives in, the turbulent days that Josh lives in, this crazy world that we live in, where it looks like wickedness goes unpunished, where it looks like there's no justice sometimes, and that can really steal our joy. Can I get a witness? Okay, but see, in Psalm 37 and verse 6, we're already talking about that end place where God wants us to be looking forward to or anticipate or to be encouraged by. So he says, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And like I said, it looks like evil's winning sometimes. It looks like there's no justice sometimes. But remember, God is in what? God is in control. Nothing's slipping by him. Okay? Now, just as the light is sure to come tomorrow morning. Remember the great theologian, Little Orphan Annie, who said, the sun will come out tomorrow, right? That's going to happen. The sun will come out tomorrow. And just as that is a fact, an undeniable fact, we know that is going to happen. God says, just like that sun is going to come out tomorrow, there will be justice for my people. Yeah. He's saying you can take that to the bank. It will happen.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, be encouraged. All right? And this world can weigh on us so much. Amen? You know? And the world's just gotten crazier and crazier. Yep. I don't think that's just me. I mean, since 9/11, everything has just gotten crazier and crazier. And this thing's kind of snowballing. Amen? But see, just like David going through this crazy time, you know, in Israel going through that crazy time, God says, okay, you got this mess going on, but I want you to understand something. The end result is going to be worth it. There will be justice. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. And your justice as the noonday. So, you ever worked outside? You ever worked construction, man? Around noontime, you want to get under a shady tree. You want to do something. Hopefully, you got access to a little Powerade or a Gatorade or some ice cold water, because that's when the sun is the brightest. But see, that's God talking about that justice that will certainly come to pass. And it's talking about that vindication, that what is done in darkness will be exposed in the light, and there will be no denying it. Talking about God's vindication for his people. So all this is being said to David through the Holy Spirit to encourage him. Now the Holy Spirit through David is encouraging us, saying there will be justice. There will be, let that sink in, okay? There will be justice, because I get bent out of shape sometimes and I gotta remind myself that nothing's slipping by on God, that there will be justice for the wickedness that's going on around us. Amen? Look at Psalm 30. Okay, I'm going to read some Bible to you. Psalm 30 in verse 5, talking about God's vindication, talking about God's justice. Psalm 30 in verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment. It's talking about God. For his anger is but for a moment. If you're a Christian, his anger is just for a moment. Let that give you some satisfaction. Okay, what we're talking about is God's correction. Okay, we're talking about God correcting those he loves. That's me and you. If you're one of God's kids, okay, you're getting that correction. You're getting that discipline. Let me say that. You're getting that that discipline. If we're not getting God's discipline, then you're not his kid. Amen. Okay? So keep that in mind. But what we're talking about right here, for his anger, for his discipline, is for a moment, temporary. But look at this. And his favor is for a lifetime.
Yes.
So we got temporary discipline, eternal love. That's our God. He disciplines or he chastens those he loves. Yes. All right? We have the privilege of having the love of the divine heavenly Father, that eternal love. He will never leave me or forsake me. He will never reject me. He will never give up on me. He is fully committed to me. And that's good news.
Yes.
Amen? So look here. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Now this is what I really wanted to get at right here. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Sorrow is not a forever thing. Okay? These trials, these storms, what you see going on around you, all this wickedness and this evil that's going on, God says there's going to be a time of judgment, there's going to be a time of justice, and there's going to be a time of vindication. Now, he's going to give us some marching orders, some things for us to do, but number one, he says, look, I'm going to work this out. My children just need to rest in me. That's a big thing. Trusting in the Most High God. Give them some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So in Luke 18, we have Jesus, the Son of God. It's a really, really interesting parable. It's the parable. Some say it's the parable of the unjust judge. Some people say, well, my Bible actually lists it as the persistent widow. But there's this widow who's seeking justice. And she's dealing with this unjust judge. But she doesn't give up. She refuses to give up. So here you are, whatever's going on. And so I've kind of been alluding to, you know, big stuff. Big stuff out there that can weigh on everybody. Stuff going on in the world. But also, we all have stuff going on in our own households. You know, we have stuff going on in our bodies. We have stuff going on with our loved ones. So a little closer to home, but whatever it might be, remember, weeping may go on through the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Hallelujah.
I want you to think about the cross versus the empty tomb. Think about Jesus Christ on that cross and how that pierced the hearts of his mother, pierced the heart of his mother, and those followers that spent 3 years with him going through all that. And then all of a sudden, it looks like their dreams, their goals, what they thought was going to happen was completely crushed. Imagine the sorrow that those close followers felt. You know, we used to sing a song here years and years ago. It may seem like Friday night, but Sunday's on the way. That's what I'm talking about. Don, you remember that? It may seem. Okay, so look, you have all that pain and that torment through that long, dark, lonely night. But then the joy comes in the morning. There's that empty tomb, you know. So we always have that to look forward to. God keeps his word, you know. And that tomb, you can go to the tomb in Israel, all right, and they pretty much know it's that one. I don't know if it is or it isn't. It probably is, you know. But I'll tell you this much. That tomb's empty, and wherever they laid Jesus for those days, he's not in there anymore. That tomb is empty. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Give the Lord some praise about that. So this widow seeking justice would not shut up. She would not let it go. You know what I mean? But check this out. So this is Jesus Christ. It's just one verse, Luke 18 and 7. He makes the comparison to this woman who won't give up. And will not God give justice to his elect? The widow got justice. And this right here says, and will not God give justice to his elect? who cry to him day and night, will he delay long over them? Well, in God's perfect time, he is going to right those wrongs. Amen? In God's perfect time, he will deliver justice for his people. So we don't have to get bent up out of shape over it. And so here's the thing. Jesus is like, that judge gave in to that woman. And your heavenly Father wants to do this. He wants to do this. So if it looks like there's no justice, if it looks like everything's falling apart, if the foundations can be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous can't let their foundation be destroyed. The foundation has got to be the Lord. Can I get a witness? He says, look, don't give up. Jesus says, hey, don't give up. Keep asking, keep knocking. But when in doubt, don't doubt. Trust, don't give up, because God will deliver that justice. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So, Psalm 37 and verse 7. Here's our marching orders. We just heard about that end result. There's going to be justice. There's going to be vindication. Jesus is going to right the wrongs. And man, we need to get fired up about that. But you know what, Paul? I'm hurting now, man. I'm struggling now. This stuff I'm seeing, this is just, it's messing me up. It's what God says. Now listen up. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices, over the man who carries out wicked, nasty, dirty schemes. He said, don't fret. Be still. Talking about trusting in God, man. Just relying on God. Putting yourself in the hands of your faithful Creator and knowing that he is going to take care of you no matter what. Can I get a witness? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It ain't the easiest thing in the world, but that's why we're talking about it. You know, be still before the Lord. Surrender yourself to God's timing. Surrender yourself to what God is doing, knowing that he's going to do what's best. God sees the big picture. Amen. He knows what's best. So we trust in God's timetable. We just say, God, you're in control. Amen. And we rest in that fact that God is in control. So Isaiah 40 in verse 31, as I am waiting on the Lord, or I'm putting my trust in the Lord's timetable to do what he's promised in my life and in my world, I'm going to trust in him. But guess what he's going to do? Because we can get wore out. We can get weary. Amen. So Isaiah 40 in verse 31, let this be an encouragement to you. But they who wait, that's what we're talking about right now. But those who wait, those who rely, those who trust, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Isn't that good? Yeah. Isn't that good? When I'm on this road, man, then everything's so heavy. He says, okay, I just told you there's going to be justice, and I don't lie. You can take that to the bank. Okay, I'm in charge. I'm in control. I see the end from the beginning. I am the end from the beginning. Okay, so you just put your trust in me. All right, and in the interim, when Satan wants to steal your joy, when you see these wind and the waves around you, he says, I'll give you the strength you need to carry on through these days. Your job at this moment is to trust. There's more to it, but we got to put our trust in him if we want that peace. And he says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. He says, I'll give you what you need, man. I'll give you what you need to get through these days. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's pretty. That's really poetic. But it's really true. I mean, not like we're going to grow wings and fly around like eagles. Watch, I'm not above that or opposed to that if God wants to do that. But I'm pretty sure that's a metaphor, an illustration. You know what I mean? Mount up with wings like eagles, soaring above all these problems, man. You know what I mean? Not like some little teet-teet bird, you know? Not like a chicken that goes around, pecks around, that has a very limited view of things, you know? But an eagle soars so high, and they can see so far. So it's just soaring up. God says, look, there's real junk going on in this world. I'm not denying that, Paul. There's real craziness, real wickedness. They're not going to win. And guess what? When you allow me to strengthen you, you will be in this mental, spiritual, emotional place where you can rise above all this rubbish that's going on, man, and not let it bring you down. And then you can get God's perspective. Amen. You see things more clearly. I get that good view, that eagle's view. Can I get a witness? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Talking about giving me strength. He says, they shall run and not be weary. That's my problem personally with running. You know, about 4 seconds into it, I get a little weary. And I'm like, I really don't want to do this anymore. But God says, look here. You might have to run a little bit. But if you need to run, you're not going to grow weary. Why? Because I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, man. I got the provision you need. I got the strength you need. All right? I got everything you need. So trust in me and know that I'm going to give you the strength you need to get through these wild, nasty days and events that you live in. Amen? So they shall walk and not faint. I want to read this again because this is a wonderful, awesome, amazing promise. And so as you deal with whatever's going on in your life, your world, with your loved ones, the big geopolitical nastiness, all the lies and all the rubbish going on, God says, looky here, man. The end result is going to be really, really good. So you trust in me. And guess what? I've got the strength. I've got the provision you need. Check this verse out. Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord, those who trust, rely, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, he gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Okay? So he has at his disposal what we need. Amen? So, are we just supposed to wait? Are we just supposed to wait? Well, what I'm talking about, just trust, and he gives me strength? Look here, Psalm 37 in verse 3. So this would be from last week's study, but I'm grabbing that verse over from last week. Psalm 37 in verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. But don't just trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. There's a lot of wickedness and evilness going on. But don't get caught up in that mess. Don't repay evil for evil. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's what it says. Psalm 37, verse 3. Rely on God. Wait on God. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his promises. Trust in the Lord and do good. Serve him. Do the right thing, because the right thing ain't always the easy thing. And most of the time, the right thing ain't the easy thing. Can I get a witness? But God says, you got a choice here. You can get on and start behaving like the wicked and do evil. Or you can act like a child of the Lord's and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. A lot of trust going on here. Yeah. A lot of trust. Trust, do good. The opposite of doing bad, do good. Trust and befriend faithfulness. Let faithfulness be your companion. Let faithfulness be your bro, your homie, right? What are you talking about? Talk about God's faithfulness. Let God's faithfulness be in the front of your heart, pulsing through your body. Let God's faithfulness be in the front in your mind, constantly thinking about God's faithfulness. Why? Because that's going to help me trust, man. That helps me trust when I befriend the faithfulness of God, His faithfulness in my past, the faithfulness all through Scripture. Well, my family's going through this. My beloved wife's going through this. The school's going through this. Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. See in Scripture where He was so faithful to people no better than us. You know what I mean? God didn't love them more than He loves you. And He was so faithful to them. So faithful to these folks. Can I get a witness? Great is His faithfulness. So befriend His faithfulness. Or the New King James Version, which is really, really cool, says feed on His faithfulness. Get your sustenance, your nutrients, your strength. He who waits on the Lord, He'll renew their strength. Yep. We get our strength from feeding on His faithfulness. Amen. Great is His faithfulness. Everybody say that. Great is His faithfulness.
Great is His faithfulness.
And give the Lord some praise. God is good. Yeah. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Yeah. So we would be in the middle of slide 3 right now. Just to kind of give you a heads up. Doesn't mean anything. Okay, all right. That's a fair question. How many slides are there? Well, there would have been 4 slides. Yeah. We're moving right along. All right. You guys ain't got nothing better to do. All right. Oh, I got a tea time or whatever. Now, looky here, man. This stuff is so important.
Yeah.
It's so practical. But, man, when the rubber meets the road, we can get so discouraged. I got so frustrated, and I have to fight that through the Word of Jesus. I got to fight that through the Holy Spirit. When I see all this wickedness going on, you know, what used to be in the shadows is out in the open. And they said, look, man, you know, people murdering little kids, you know, people murdering little kids and all this stuff. And then you say, well, look, man, there's going to be justice. It's going to come to the light. And then we're going to see the swift arm of the law, highest law in the land. And you know, we're going to, and you know, it's about, you know, the innocent suffering and all that sort of thing. And then you're like, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And the wicked just keep doing what the wicked do. And here's another kid going missing. And here's another family destroyed. And here's this. And,
well, our job is to pray for them, brother.
And then we have God's promises.
Yeah.
That says, look, man, I'm going to let you know right off the bat, there will be justice.
Yes.
There will be justice.
Yes.
And there's going to be vindication. And God's going to wipe away every tear. And God's going to right all the wrongs. And He says, right here, right now, I want you to grab that fact that there's going to be justice. He says, don't lose heart, don't lose hope. There's going to be justice. Now you trust in Me. You rely on Me. Amen?
Amen.
And you do good. You do good. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right?
Amen.
Be still before the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. That's what I was just talking about. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices or wicked schemes. So there's that tendency, that possibility to where we can get bent out of shape when we think about all this craziness. Amen. But God just said, fret not yourself over that. Why? I want to trust in You. I want to put my trust in God. I'm going to take God up on His advice. I'm going to think about what David's going through in this situation where He's got a big chunk of the nation chasing him out of the throne, out of Jerusalem. He's running for his life. He's got to fight a war, but not against the Philistines this time, not even against King Saul, but against his own son who wants his head on a platter. You know, that's some mess. That's some junk. Amen? Right? Okay. But God said, hey, fret not, David. Fret not. No, you ain't ever been through nothing like this, but fret not, because there will be justice. Amen. Psalm 37 and verse 8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Wow. Wow. So verse 7 again, the bottom of verse 7. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Now, verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. So this fret, this word fret that we keep talking about the last 2 weeks, it's like, don't worry. Don't lose your cool. But in the Hebrew, it's like talking about fret. Fret means to blaze up. To something that is a tiny little spark growing into some massive mess. It's like the time me and my buddy were out in the woods. I told this a long time ago, man. I guess I could take 5 minutes of your life. 5 minutes. So me and my buddy, we're out in the woods. We're up to no good. It's in the heat of the day. And I had a couple bottle rockets in my car. My buddy lights a bottle rocket. And this is just stupid kid stuff. Stupid young adult stuff, really. And bottle rocket goes into this trash pile that was out there in the middle of the woods. It's like one of these homemade dirt road cul-de-sac things where people would drive in the woods, circle around, and drop off their rubbish they didn't want. You ever seen one of those? You ever partook in one of those? All right, well, we're in church, so. Yeah. So anyways, we're out there. We're up to no good. That's all I'm going to say about that one. But hey, you know, there's a couple bottle rockets. My buddy lights off a bottle rocket and it goes in the couch and nothing happens. Ouch. We're just hanging out for a few more minutes and all of a sudden we look behind us and the couch is completely consumed in flames. The trash heap, the rubbish heap is consumed in flames and the woods are catching on fire. And we have to jump in the... we have to jump in my Chevette and get out of there in danger of being cut off by the forest blaze. Yeah, we get out of there. And see, it was just one little stupid spark. But it made this big, huge mess, this devastation, really. Yes. Devastation. We forgot all about it. Like I said, we were up to no good that day. We forgot all about that series of events. Went to my parents' house and enjoyed some delicious food. I believe it was baked chicken that night. I actually don't remember what it was. But this certain friend would come and have dinner with me at my mom's house. This is back in this crazy time in my life, man. And the good old days, not the good old days at all. We forgot, man. We forgot, hey, we burnt the woods down. And we go back there that night, supposed to meet some folks or whatever. So stupid. And we get there. We didn't know we burnt the woods down. We just thought there was a pretty big fire. Wow. Yeah, when we're pulling up, and we're driving through the woods, and it's dark. You know, it's like, man, everything looks different. It's like the woods, there is no woods no more. I mean, they still got the majestic ancient pine trees or whatever. But anything else is just gone. It's just complete scorched earth, man. For miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Wow. Yeah, I did that. Well, I didn't call the cops or nothing when my buddy did it, so whatever, you know. I had a major role to play in it. Nobody got hurt, but that's a mess, right? Yeah. Statutes of limitations are well over on that one. If you don't if you, yeah, I hope so. God is good. See what, man? One tiny little stupid spark, boom, forest fire. So God gives us this warning. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Now you can be anger, you can be angry the right way. But we got to be angry and sin not. So when we look at this mess, we got to make sure that we're angry in the right way. We put our trust in the Lord. We bring this to the Lord. Amen. And like somebody said out there, we pray for those people. We pray for them. Okay. That's your job. It's not your job to call and say, hey, they're too far gone. God's turned them over to a reprobate mind. You don't know. You don't know. You pray for those people. Amen. Right? Don't do evil. Continue doing good. Right? Okay. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Romans 12 in verse 19. So be angry the right way, and that's okay. Be angry and sin not, right? But you got to be wise. You got to be vigilant, you know, because forsake wrath, fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. So this can lead you down the wrong path. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
So God says, don't even mess with that. Go back to that trust. Trust in me. Rely on me. And do good.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 12 and 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. What? God says, there's going to be justice. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. And think about what has just been said right there through the Apostle Paul. The wrath of God. Leave it to the wrath of God. Man, that's some hardcore stuff right there. But one thing that we can glean from that is, okay, don't take revenge. Don't avenge yourself. Leave it to God. Okay, there it is. That's what it says. But you know the beautiful thing about not getting caught up in that junk is you don't have to feel remorse. You don't have to feel regret for getting out of line. You know what I mean? Because you will end up feeling the Holy Spirit saying, man, I told you not to do that. I told you not to do that. You know? And you're not going to have to look over your shoulder. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Yeah. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Trust in his promises, right? He's faithful. Our God is faithful. He said, I'll settle those scores. I'll take care of that mess. I'm keeping track of everything. You trust in me and you do good. And I'm going to bless you and I'm going to use you. Give the Lord some praise. Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil. Because that's what we're talking about at this moment. And you can be overcome by evil. Trying to get that justice for yourself. You know what I mean? And that can ruin you. That can ruin everything around you. God says, do not be overcome by evil. But overcome evil with good. Overcome evil. Break that cycle of retribution. Just give it to God. God's going to settle the score. I'm not going to get involved in that nonsense. I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to pray for that group of people. I'm going to pray. Amen. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Man, that's a task right there, isn't it? God wouldn't tell you to do it if he didn't want you to do it. And he wouldn't tell you to do it if there was not a way to do it. You got to want to please God, right? You got to want to please God more than you want justice for yourself, right? You got to want to please God. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's certainly a process, but God says I can take you from this nastiness and this mess and this destruction, and I can bring you to a place to where you can pray for those people that caused that in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what he wants. You know, that's what he wants. All right. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Psalm 37, verse 9. This is our main text. For the evildoers shall be cut off. Remember, we started this thing talking about God's justice. For the evildoers shall be cut off. So you, Paul, don't get bent out of shape. Don't fret. Don't blaze up. Don't start a huge fire. Trust in God. Do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. And he says, this is what's going to happen, okay? I'll just let you in on a little bit. We're not going to get real specific, Paul, but check this. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. So we got those that wait on the Lord are God's people, are the righteous, are the Christian, that's us. And then you got the evildoer. And he says, the evildoer, the wicked, they're going to be cut off. It's like you got the good fish and the bad fish. God's going to separate them. That's a parable. Yeah, you got the goats and the sheepies. You got the goats and the sheep. And God says, goats on the left, sheep on the right. God says, the wicked, the evildoers, they ain't getting away with nothing. All right? He's being patient. He's not being slow like some people consider slow. He's not being slow. He's being patient. Right? Thank God he was patient with me. Thank God he is patient with me.
Hallelujah.
Amen? But he says, you know what? There's going to be a separation. You got the righteous and you got the wicked. And God says, I'll deal with the wicked. They're going to be cut off. They're going to be separated from you. They're going to have their judgment. You can rest assured that's going to happen. Psalm 37 in verse 38. Now, if you're keeping track, we are currently in Psalm 37. We're like in verse 37, verse 9 or something like that. But now we're going to jump really far ahead talking about the wicked being cut off. So Psalm 37 and verse 38. But the transgressors, not Fran Drescher, but the transgressors. Somebody give me their best friend. No, don't do it. But the transgressors shall be altogether, the wicked, the transgressors shall all be together destroyed. Talking about being cut off. So there's this judgment that the wicked or the unrepentant are going to have to face with all God's fury and God's wrath. They're going to have to face all that. And so God says, don't worry over that. Don't fret over that. Don't let this steal your joy. I see exactly what's going on. I'm going to settle this score. Now you are here for this season to do good. And I want you to have peace, so you trust in me.
Amen.
You trust in me and know that I'm going to do what I promised. Now, you just serve me. You do good. You defeat evil by doing good.
Amen.
Tell the truth, shame the devil, right?
Amen.
Okay. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land.
Amen.
Psalm 37 and verse 38, jumping forward. Way for it, but the transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. Well, what do you mean destroyed? Because I thought we're going to spend eternity either in the smoking or the non-smoking section. I thought we're going to spend eternity. I thought we're always going to exist forever and ever someplace. We are. But you just said the unrepentant will be destroyed. That talking about God's ultimate destruction. Well, it's like this. If you take a watermelon and you smash it on the concrete, guess what you got? You got a watermelon. It's just a destroyed watermelon.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the junkyard and you see a bunch of flattened cars. It's a destroyed car. It's a flattened car, but it's still a car. Can I, you know what I'm saying? So this is what God's talking about. He's not saying you're going to go into nothingness or you're not going to exist anymore. He's saying this is a real deal here, man. Okay? But the transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, removed from all hope. So hopefully we're cultivating a little bit of tenderness. And we want to pray for these people because I'm talking about the wicked. I'm talking about the wicked, but I'm also talking about those people. Jesus died for those people to wash away their sins, just like he died to wash away my sins. You know what I mean? And God loves them just as much as he loves me. Now, he's not always going to strive with them. He's not always going to strive with everybody. Does that make sense? It still doesn't change our job. Tell the truth, shame the devil. We're still on slide 4, by the way.
Amen.
Psalm 37, 9 and 10. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, those who trust, rely on the Lord, shall inherit the land. So we got the evildoer being cut off. All right, there's that destruction, there's that judgment, that divine judgment, okay? And then we have us, and God says, you got a big fat inheritance coming. So he says, I don't just want you to have peace, but I want you to be optimistic, I want you to be excited. Because there's something amazing waiting for you.
Yes.
Amen? Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, because we've been talking about that a lot today. Last couple weeks, and let us not grow weary in doing good. And man, if we get our eyes off of the Lord, we can grow weary in doing good.
Oh, yeah.
We can grow weary in doing the right thing. You know, it's like the wicked keep doing the thing. They ain't going through no trials or storms. Well, you know, this is what God says. Don't fret over that.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with that. Okay, now you don't grow weary in doing good. And remember what we just read, that he will give us strength. When we wait on the Lord, he will give us strength. He that waits upon the Lord, he will renew our strength. So we got to tap into that, man. Say, God, I need your strength. Don't forget you have the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? So we got to tap into that provision that God has for us. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like saying, you know what? I'm not just weary of doing the right thing. I'm tired of doing the right thing. I'm not going to do the right thing anymore. Okay? I'm going to give in to this, what God says, don't mess around with that evil junk. You know what I mean? Because you're in danger there. If you grow weary of doing good, you're in danger of slipping down that slippery slope, and all of a sudden you're not even trying to be obedient to the Lord. You're just doing your own thing. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? And he just warned us about that. Okay, but we got this massive inheritance, so don't get sidetracked. Don't get discouraged. Don't be led away by that anger, because what's that going to lead to? We just hit on that evil. Psalm 37 in verse 10. In just a little while, in God's perfect timing, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. They're going to be cut off. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. It's like, there he is, there he ain't there. Oh, there's a lot of trouble being caused by this group. And all of a sudden, they're not an issue at all anymore. You know, if you go back and you think about what was going on in World War II, you know, Hitler and this army was just taking massive chunks out of Europe, you know? And it looked like this was an unstoppable force. But you know what, man? I didn't wake up this morning worried about Hitler. Because he's gone, man.
Hallelujah.
right? Okay, so look, man, Psalm 37 in verse 2, we're jumping back to the beginning of our study again, because it's like this. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. You know what I'm talking about there? In the springtime, you got the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful plants and all that good stuff. But guess what, man? In the wintertime, they ain't going to be around. Okay? So this thing looks like, this wickedness might look like they're in the middle of an unstoppable movement and there's nothing we can do about it. God says, trust in me, do good, and know that I'm going to bring justice.
Amen.
You do good. You serve me. Don't get tied down with that evil stuff. Don't get involved in the tit for tat type business.
Amen.
Tell the truth, shame the devil, right?
Amen.
For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. So I think a pretty relevant example or a good example would be in Exodus 14, 13 and 14. Exodus 14, 13 and 14. We're just going to read these two little verses, but I want you to remember talking about here today, gone tomorrow, looking like there's always going to be this wickedness just running rampant, getting away with murder, getting away with everything. But let's go back to Exodus and think about this when the Israelite people just got released from 400 years of slavery. They just left Egypt, man. Or they're leaving Egypt. And man, now they are facing the Red Sea. And it's interesting to note, man, that God was the GPS. God put them where they were facing the devil in the deep blue sea. They had to their front was the Red Sea, and behind them was the massive Egyptian army, because the Egyptians got to talk and like, well, who's going to make our bricks, man? Well, Bill's going to make the... I ain't making no bricks. Bill don't make bricks, man. Well, George don't make bricks. Slaves make bricks, man. Well, we ain't got no slaves, Bill. George, no, they ain't not making them. They decide they're going to go back and get their slaves. So now you got these people just got delivered. Their pockets are full with the jewelry of the Egyptians. They're following this clown, the Holy Spirit, the Lord. They're facing right up on the Dead Sea, and now the dust is being turned up behind them. There's this massive, massive army coming after them. It's a big problem. Caused nothing but devastation for these people for 400 years. We look at our situation, that can be oh so discouraging. It's just going on. The way of the world's always going to go on. If you're in a certain club, you can get away with murder. You're going to do all kinds of wicked and foul things, and you're just going to sit there and you're going to suck it up and you're going to take it. And you're going to make my bricks. Exodus 14, 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, and people are freaking out, man. They've already turned their back on Moses, man. They're like, whoa, you brought us out here to die? They are beside themselves freaking out, all right? Fret not, or you're going to end up making some mistakes. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today.
Hallelujah.
So here's the deal. God says, I'm going to do the justice-bringing part. I'm going to do the judgment part. Your part is to trust and to do good. Your job is to trust in me, rely on me, delight yourself in me, and serve me. Do good, and I'm going to bring this judgment part to pass. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. This problem, this pain, this torment, that group that had you throwing your baby boys into the Nile River. This is their last hurrah. They're done. No, they're not done. They're catching up with us. They're still going strong, and now we got the Red Sea in front of us. Shut up. Wait on the Lord, man. That's what he says. Look, you shall never see again. This problem ain't going to be a problem tomorrow. This will all be a memory of God's faithfulness and God's power and God's provision, so you can pull back and see how faithful he was when you're facing the Midianites down the way.
Amen.
You shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Okay, I'm going to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Moses is like, this is your job. Shut your pothole. Shut up. Shut up and trust in God, because he's going to do something amazing. And all your fretting and all your worrying spreads like a wildfire, spreads like somebody shooting a bottle rocket in a couch in the middle of the woods. So zip it. All God's people said zip it. Zip it. Still on slide 4. So Psalm 37, 10 and 11. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. So in our modern day fancy culture, we can take meekness as weakness, right? We can say that somebody's weak when they're really just being meek. And you say, well, what is meekness? Okay, meek does not mean that you are weak. Meekness is strength that you are restraining. Controlled strength. Think about Jesus Christ on the cross. He knew he had access to legions of angels. He had all these people mocking him that were just beside themselves in joyful lust over the fact that this guy, Jesus, was bleeding out before them and dying. He had control over the strength that he had access to. He could have called down a legion of angels. He could have called down one angel. He could have jumped off that cross and said, surprise. It's payback time. But he was being obedient to his Father. That was strength being controlled by him. So we take that example. Because, yeah, you can go settle the score in a lot of areas, but it ain't going to work out right. It's not going to work out right. It's going to lead to more trouble. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil. It's going to lead to a bigger mess. But he says, the meek, and Jesus quotes this in the Beatitudes. He quotes what David says right here, but the meek shall inherit the land. But those that wait on the Lord, those that are completely dependent on God, who let the Lord restrain them from doing something stupid, right? But the meek shall inherit the earth, those that rely and trust in God. You got this massive blessing. So he says, don't give up. Amen?
Amen.
God's people will enjoy peace. God's people will enjoy peace, security, and the fulfillment of God's promises.
Yes.
And this is what he asks of us. Just trust in me. Trust in my promises. Do good.
Yep.
Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Don't try and do it on your own. I'm going to do the part you can't do. And when you get weary, and you're tired of doing the right thing, you need to understand something. That there's a big, fat harvest waiting on you. So don't get tired of doing the right thing.
Right.
It's going to work out. Father God, thank you so much for blessing all these fine folks.
Thank you,
Lord, that your will be done in this land, in this world, in our hearts, in our families, in our communities, Lord. Let us trust in you and let us serve you. Let us be about your business and let us want to be about your business. Thank you, Father God, for being so wonderfully gracious and merciful to us. Give us the desire to pray for those who persecute your people.
Amen.
Give us the desire to love and pray for those who come against you, Lord.
Yes.
Let us be obedient to you. Let us be God pleasers and not man pleasers.
Yes.
We love you in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ. We pray.
Yes.
Everybody at church said,
Amen.
Amen.